Welcome back to another episode of the It's Murder Y'all podcast. I'm your host, Amber, and with me today is a man who recently lost a fight with some bacon grease, my husband, Rob. Say hey, Rob.
Howdy, howdy.
Nothing about the bacon grease? Are you still?
It sucked, but...
Yeah, he has a big, giant...
Bacon don't cook itself.
...spot on his arm from bacon grease. So, I know that what I'm about to say is probably going to jinx us. But I really do think this episode is going to be shorter than the others because I couldn't find hardly any background information on any of the people involved, but I still really wanted to tell a story, so I did my best. So this week's story takes place in Hickory, North Carolina. According to Wikipedia, in 2014, Reader's Digest named the Hickory metro area as the 10th best place to live and raise a family in the United States. Hickory is about 60 miles northwest of Charlotte and has been called the furniture capital of the world. Not only is Hickory home to one of the oldest furniture manufacturers in the country, it is also home to 188 other furniture manufacturers. Furniture manufacturing will be important in a few minutes, but for now, we're going to shift gears. Philippa Michelle Bowman, who went by Michelle, was born on March 4th, 1969, making her a Pisces, in Caldwell County, North Carolina, which is part of the Hickory metro area. We don't know much about Michelle's life other than the fact that she married Justin Marlowe, becoming Michelle Marlowe, and had two daughters, Michaela and Tasha. Michelle worked as an upholsterer? Yeah, an upholsterer, at TCS Designs Incorporated, which is, you guessed it, a furniture manufacturer in Hickory, North Carolina. One of Michelle's co-workers in the upholstery area was Tangela Parker. Tangela Louise Parker, not sure of her maiden name, was born on April 21st, 1971, making her a Taurus. Tangela was married to Eric Parker, who was 12 years her senior, and also worked at TCS Designs. Eric had worked at TCS since 2004 and was a supervisor in the frame department, and Tangela had worked there since about 2018. As far as I can tell, things seem to be okay until July of 2020. On July 28th, 2020, Michelle and Tangela were working in their respective areas within the upholstery section of the plant, and they both had headphones on, listening to their jams, you know, trying to pass the time while they work. I do that all the time, except I'm never listening to music. It is always a true crime. Anyway, on this day, I guess Tangela decided it was not enough to just listen to her music. She needed to sing it too. And not just quietly to herself, no. She was pretty much given a free concert to the point that Michelle could hear Tangela singing over the sound of the music that she had going on in her headphones. So Michelle walked over and asked Tangela if she could sing a little quieter. And Tangela became incensed. I'm sorry, but if you are making all kinds of racket in a public setting and then cause a scene when someone asks you nicely to hush, that tells me all I need to know about you as a person. According to later court documents, Tangela told Michelle that she couldn't ask her to do nothing. Michelle had to ask Tangela's supervisor to discuss it with her, which makes not a damn bit of sense to me. Like, why would you want to get your supervisor involved over something so dumb? Like, that...
I don't think that was the point. I think she was saying, you ain't got no, you know, like, jurisdiction here. Kick rocks.
That's so dumb. That, like, literally all she was like, hey, can you, like, she nicely asked her to quit singing so damn loud, which she shouldn't have been singing no ways. Like, you're not in your shower. You are on an assembly line, and there are people around, and they don't want to hear you singing. So... Tangela ended up getting an official warning from that little kerfluffle. About 6 months later, on January 4th, 2021, Michelle and Tangela got into it again, this time over moving some tables in their work area. According to witnesses, Tangela became very aggressive, screaming and cussing at Michelle, saying that she would wipe the floor with Michelle and whip her ass, which that's absolutely a Southern white trash lady thing to say. Co-workers in the area who had witnessed Tangela pitching her fit let a plant manager know that she was the instigator and that Michelle had hardly even responded. Like, she was not here for Tangela's bullshit. Just, oh my God, go sit down. Apparently, Tangela had developed a reputation for being a shit ass, so this was not shocking to anyone, and she ended up being suspended for 3 days without pay. Now, I'm a fairly chill person, and by and large, I have gotten really lucky in terms of coworkers, but I can't imagine getting in a yelling, screaming, cussing fight at work over like moving a table. That is, it's so stupid. But apparently, like, Tangela, she is something else. So, a little over a week later, on January 13th, 2021, it's just a normal day of work at TCS Designs. At around 2:30 that day, Tangela heads outside while Michelle continues working in her area, thinking nothing of Tangela going outside. She's honestly probably happy for her to, like, be away from her for a minute. Well, moments later, Tangela walks up to Michelle and fires a shot at point-blank range into the left side of Michelle's chest. Michelle turns to run away, but Tangela fires her .357 Magnum revolver into the back of Michelle's head. Eric Parker, Tangela's husband, was downstairs when the shots rang out, and he ran upstairs to his wife. Now, I'm not sure if he ran upstairs to Tangela because he was concerned and wanted to make sure his wife was okay, or if it was because he knew what she was doing. So, witnesses later told authorities that Eric walked over to Tangela, gave her a big bear hug, and then took the gun away from her, which, that sounds hella weird. Like, here, let me give you a hug. You just murdered this person. Like, in front of all of these witnesses at our place of work, let me hug you about it. So, the pair exit the building, and they flee in their Honda CRV. Short while later, first responders arrived on the scene and found Michelle lying where she had fallen. Miraculously, she was still alive. She was rushed to Fry Regional Medical Center, and then they decided to transfer her to, this is a long-ass hospital name, Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center in Winston-Salem. Sadly, Michelle passed away at 5:17 p.m. en route to the hospital in Winston-Salem. So there had been a metric shit ton of witnesses to the shooting, because literally it's just a regular work day and Tangela shoots Michelle in front of God and everybody. So police knew exactly who they were looking for. Problem was, they didn't know where she was at, because when Tangela and Eric fled, they legit fled and were nowhere to be found. Police went ahead and issued arrest warrants for the couple, first degree murder for Tangela and accessory after the fact for Eric. After they had secured the warrants, investigators worked with cell phone providers to see if they could ping Tangela and Eric's phones. Tangela's phone was pinging near her parents' house in Hudson, North Carolina, which is about 12 miles from Hickory. The ping locations weren't moving or changing locations, so investigators figured the couple must have been hiding out somewhere near Tangela's mama and daddy. Although Hickory and Hudson were only 12 miles apart, they were in different counties, so investigators from Hickory Police Department reached out to the Caldwell County Sheriff's Department and had them stake out Tangela's parents' house. At some point, one of Tangela's family members, who was also a pastor, came out of the house. And apparently, the deputies that were on call knew the pastor. So when he assured them that Tangela and Eric were not there and that the family would be happy to answer any questions they had, they believed him. So investigators had a chat with Tangela's parents, and then they canvassed the surrounding area for clues to the couple's whereabouts. Investigators worked with the cell phone providers to see if they could further hone in on the area where Tangela's phone was pinging from. They were able to narrow it down to an unincorporated area in Caldwell County, and after a search of the area, ended up finding the phone at the base of a tree at the edge of Rocky Springs Cemetery. But you gotta give it to them. That was a little bit smart. That's a random-ass place for a phone to be.
And everybody at this point knows that you can track them things.
That's true. It was, I don't know, it's weird to me. Like, it doesn't seem like they flung it out a window. It seems like they went and placed it. Like, I'm just going to hide my phone right here at the base of this tree next to a cemetery.
Which it kept the police busy.
It did. So, after they found the phone, police conducted an air search of the area to see if they could locate any signs of the couple, but they came up empty-handed. Hickory police, They're searching. They're running out of leads. So they bring in the U.S. Marshals. The U.S. Marshals begin a search that would take 6 months, involve 30 leads, and stretch across 8 states. Now, we don't know a lot about where the U.S. Marshals got their info, but at approximately 12:30 p.m. on July 13th, 2021, in Phoenix, Arizona, of all places, U.S. Marshals knocked on the door of Jason and Elizabeth Reardon. As it turns out, Jason and Elizabeth Reardon were actually Eric and Tangela Parker. The couple had assumed, for 6 months, they'd assumed new identities. They had popped a stolen license plate on their Honda CRV, which was not only parked in the driveway, it also still had the murder weapon in it. And they'd worked odd jobs on a ranch to make ends meet. Eric and Tangela were arrested on the spot, and it just so happened to be the 6 months to the day since the shooting had happened. It must have taken some time to get the couple extradited to North Carolina, though, because evidence from the case file has Tangela's North Carolina arrest date as August 5th. Though she was initially denied bond, a month later, a different judge granted her a bond of $250,000 and allowed her to be on house arrest. As part of the house arrest agreement, Tangela wasn't allowed to have any contact with Eric. She'd have to live with her parents. She could only leave the house for doctor's appointments, attorney visits, and court, and she would have to wear an ankle monitor. Michelle's family was pissed. They would even consider giving Tangela house arrest, considering the fact that, oh, I don't know, she'd evaded the law for 6 months. Like, that boggles my mind, too. Michelle's teenage daughter, Michaela, told the Hickory Daily Record, quote, "My biggest concern is when this all happened and we knew that she had fled, there was a point we didn't think she would ever get caught," end quote. I can't imagine how frustrated they had to have been. Like, it took 6 months to find where she was, and now they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to keep you in jail. You can just wear this little monitor and don't go nowhere. I don't know what they were thinking, but the Hickory Daily Record also reported that several of Tangela's supporters had written on her behalf to help her get bond. How, as a murderer, especially someone who murdered someone in front of a lot of people, so there's no deniability there, how you have supporters is beyond me. But one of the letters was from a pastor who basically said that Tangela would be fine to be released into the custody of her parents because he knows that they're law-abiding citizens. Plus, quote, "She is devastated that this happened and regrets her actions," end quote. Does she? Does she regret them, or does she regret getting caught? A family friend who claims to have known Tangela and her parents her whole life wrote, "We, quote, we went to church together up until my preteen or teenage years, and I will always remember the godly example they all were and still are," end quote. And I'm guessing by godly, she means the Old Testament God who killed a bunch of people. And before anybody comes for me, I'm going to need you to refer to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, like five chapters of Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel.
So basically half the Bible?
Yeah, the Old Testament pretty much. I may have said Jeremiah twice. One of those should have been a Joshua. I don't remember what I just said, but yes. Furthermore, I can't stand when people try to justify someone's horrible behavior by saying that they're godly people. A, are they? B, Dennis Rader, who is also known as BTK, was a serial killer who murdered 10 people. He was also a devout Lutheran and was president of his church council. Gary Ridgway, also known as the Green River Killer, was a serial killer who murdered 49 people that we know of and was a devout evangelical Baptist. John Wayne Gacy was a serial killer. He didn't get a nickname. He was a serial killer who murdered 33 people and was a devout Catholic who had considered becoming a priest. And John List, who killed his wife, mother, and three children, was a devout Lutheran. Now, I don't want to go off on too much of a religious tangent, but some of the worst people I have ever encountered in my life were so-called godly people. So I'm starting to think that maybe that's not the title you want to be called. Tangela got to enjoy her house arrest for about 2 years before going on trial in September of 2023. So this is like the most recent case we've done. She initially pled not guilty. How the fuck do you plead not guilty when everyone watched you do it? I can't wrap my brain around it. Like, people saw you that with their eyes, with their eyeballs, watched you shoot her. You were very obviously guilty. So she initially pled not guilty, but after the Catawba County District Attorney hinted at possibly going for a capital murder charge, she decided to plead guilty to second degree murder. I don't really understand why she was allowed to plead guilty to second degree murder. I mean, except for the, I guess it was a plea deal. But what distinguishes second degree murder from first degree murder is a lack of premeditation. And I'm pretty sure this was premeditated. Like, this doesn't seem like a spur of the moment thing. They weren't in the middle. It's not like they were in the middle of their cussing, screaming table fight. Like, they're just working and she goes outside and comes back in with a gun. Like, that's...
Maybe she was just, that was the straw. Maybe old girl shot her a look and she was like, you know what? Fuck this bitch. And she just said, I'm fucking smoke you, bud.
Like, that is just, you had like two petty arguments, and you're going to murder someone for that. You have to be a special kind of crazy. And I can tell by looking at this woman that she is batshit fucking crazy. So since she pled guilty, they didn't have to have like a trial because, you know, she's guilty, but they did have to have a sentencing hearing. So during the sentencing hearing, Tangela's attorney tried to claim that Tangela had been hopped up on Xanax at the time of the murder. She was in a dissociative state at the time and had no memory of that day at all. And I call bullshit. You knew what she was doing. Don't blame the Xannies. You did this. So the judge ultimately handed down a sentence of 20 to 25 years. 10 of Michelle's loved ones spoke at the hearing, including her daughter, Michaela, who said, quote, "There's not enough time in the world for me to express who she was. January 13th, 2021 was the day I lost my best friend, my rock, my certified support system. She was a human form of goodness and peace. Her life was violently ripped from her. While I'm grateful for every second I got with her, I'm angry she was taken away. The time I spent with her was nowhere long enough," end quote. While Michaela spoke about the loss of her mother, Tangela just stared at the judge, still and emotionless. She did, however, get emotional and cry when her defense attorney read a letter that she had written, which said in part, quote, "I asked the Marlowe family in front of Jesus Christ and all these witnesses to forgive me. I'm sorry for the pain I've caused your family. I pray for your family daily that our Lord will comfort you when you mourn," end quote. Please don't bring Jesus into this, because I'm sure he does not want to be associated with your crazy ass. So Tangela's husband, Eric, would be the next to go on trial. Interestingly enough, although Tangela, the actual murderer, was granted house arrest, Eric had been in jail pretty much from the time they were extradited to North Carolina until his trial, which happened last month. So he was in jail for like 2.5 years. I would have been a little mad. I mean, that's on him for being accessory after the fact, but he also might have been an accessory before the fact. We don't know. Anyways, Eric was charged with one count of felony accessory after the fact. According to an article from Cornell Law School, accessory after the fact is someone who assists someone who has committed a crime after the person has committed the crime, with the knowledge that the person committed the crime, and with the intent to help the person avoid arrest or punishment. So I guess it kind of keeps you from, like, if you accidentally help somebody and you don't know what's going on, you may not be charged as an accessory. So, like Tangela, Eric initially pled not guilty, which, how, I don't know, but then changed his plea to guilty, which was a good call. He did get sentenced to 4 to 6 years in prison, but they included time already served. So he's going to end up serving another like 1.5 to 3.5 years. So Michelle's husband, Justin, would go on to file a wrongful death lawsuit against TCS Designs, claiming negligence, gross negligence, and willful and wanton conduct, and sought compensatory and punitive damages. So I was pretty sure I knew what all of that meant, but I wanted to educate all of us. So I did a little Googling, and according to Cornell Law School, negligence in the criminal sense, in the law sense, is the failure to behave with the level of care that a reasonable person would have exercised under the same circumstances. Maybe it's the way my brain works, but that seems a little ambiguous. Gross negligence is a heightened degree of negligence that implies a thoughtless disregard of the consequences and the failure to use even slight care to avoid harming the life or property of another. I don't know how that is a heightened version of negligence, but anyway, according to the North Carolina Penal Code, willful or wanton conduct means the conscious and intentional disregard of and indifference to the rights and safety of others, which the defendant knows or should know is reasonably likely to result in injury, damage, or other harm. Willful or wanton conduct means more than gross negligence. That one makes sense to me. And I feel like, based on what I'm about to tell you, that it makes sense, that, and they absolutely should be found culpable of, at the very least, well, I guess considering that willful and wanton conduct is higher than gross negligence, if they're found to be liable for that, they'd be liable for all of it. Anyways, the lawsuit claims that TCS Designs had a zero tolerance policy for fighting or abusive confrontation. Yet they violated their own policy by not firing Tangela after the incident the week before the murder, because she had threatened Michelle during that incident. Had they followed their policy and fired Tangela on January 4th, Michelle may not have been killed on January 13th. Justin's attorney, Lyndon Helton, said, quote, "It's our position that the action and the inaction of these people that we sued is that they contributed and they were all causes of the murder that occurred. We aren't saying they pulled the trigger, but Tangela Parker was a known danger, yet they allowed her to continue to be present in that plant," end quote. And he's not wrong. Like, they had given her a warning, and then she showed her ass, and so she was suspended for 3 days. Well, if you have a zero tolerance policy, then you should have fired her. But the lawyer wonders if perhaps TCS didn't fire Tangela because Eric was such a highly valued employee. You know, he was a supervisor in the frame department. So, I mean, I don't feel like that's too far-fetched. I'm sure companies do that all the time. So TCS Designs filed a motion to have the lawsuit dismissed, but the motion was denied. And it shows you how shitty this company is. So if you're in North Carolina, don't buy nothing from TCS Designs because, in my opinion, they absolutely were negligent. But more importantly, the average wrongful death settlement is $500,000 to $1 million. Justin is only asking for $25,000. He's asking you for 20, and you're going to be like, no. Like, that's probably, I'm sure that's less than what Michelle made in a whole year. And so the fact that the company can't even bother to cough up what is probably chump change to them makes me hate them. Like, Justin ain't out here trying to be stingy. I mean, he has kids. Like, now he has lost his partner's wages. I hope that a judge intervenes and is like, you know what? We're going to give you $2.5 million because that company sucks. As of September 2023, though, the lawsuit had not been resolved. So, it's not over yet, but I don't think I jinxed this. Because that was the case of the absolutely senseless murder of Michelle Marlowe. So, Rob, what are your final thoughts on this case? Because you've worked in an environment more like this than I have. Because you've worked in, like, assembly things.
Tempers can flare. I worked for Honda Manufacturing of Alabama. I worked for a transit bus company, manufacturing transit buses, two different companies. I've worked in a company that built windows for houses, custom windows. So I've done a lot of factory and manufacturing and assembly jobs. And I can tell you that I've seen a lot of scenarios that were some of the details a little different, or the person was a different person that, I don't know if somebody would have shot nobody, but I've seen some hardcore disagreements, hardcore. I've seen people like hit each other's vehicle about a parking spot at Honda.
Good Lord.
I've seen people get into like cussing matches about whatever clique of people is sitting in some other clique of people's smoking area. Like, you don't even work down here. Why are you always, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Are we in middle school? Oh my God.
But listen, bless your heart. that's blue collar work. Blue collar work is, you know, and I am a blue collar worker. Let's not get it twisted. It might be more of like a pastel blue instead of a hardcore blue, but things can get very out of hand in a shop where blue collar work is done, because there's the he said, she said, then there's the, and not to mention when you add, you know, male and female, I just have seen it too. It does not shock me that this is a thing that happened for real.
See,
like it tracks.
with Honda, I could see it happening because of how many people are hooking up with each other and like cheating on their spouses. So I could absolutely see a spouse coming in there and like popping a cap in somebody. But this spot just seems stupid. Like, this seems stupid. Tangela,
well, people can be hella petty. I mean, petty knows no bounds.
I am as petty as they come. And I can't, like, you murdered somebody over a fucking table because you didn't like where they were moving a table. Like you have to
It
be.
wasn't the table. It wasn't the thing. It was the person. You know what I mean? That's the thing in that, in these scenarios, is like it's less about the facts of what is going on. It's more that mother, I can't stand that son of a bitch. You know what I mean? Or that son of a bitch is gotten on my last nerve. Like for me, I can be petty. But for me, when I if I'm mad at a person, like a specific person, which is, you know, I don't get mad at specific people that often. But for me in the past, past me, past crazy in the brain, angry me, like, I mean, even to this day, there are people that, you know, I'll be nice to their face, but inside I'm like, you know, I hate you. I don't get out of my face. I don't want to be around you. Don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like, I don't know. Sometimes when people feel like they're disrespected on a certain level, or what they perceive to be disrespect, is like I despise feeling disrespected. I despise it. It is one of my biggest pet peeves is feeling disrespected, because I dole out a generous portion of it on the daily on purpose. This is the way.
So
So.
real talk, with my neurodivergent mind, I've realized as I get older, there are certain concepts that I just don't understand. I've never understood the concept of respect, and especially as like irate as people, like I don't like what is or is not respect, because I fully don't know.
I mean, respect to me, well, you know, it's layered. Like for me, respect means a lot more than most people because of my military background, I feel like. And it's a kind of a personal thing for me. Like I grew up with feeling I didn't feel respect, don't know, until I was grown. You know what I mean? Like I didn't feel like anybody respected me. I didn't feel like my space, my personal space was respected. I didn't feel like my belongings were, I didn't feel like anything that had anything to do with me was respected. Really, honestly, until I got into the career I'm in now, and I've heard people over and over and over again say the things that people that respect another person say. You know what I mean? Or until I got friends. And this is no disrespect to any of my other old friends in general, but like until I got friends that, you know, gassed me up and told me, yo, dude, you're a fucking good man. You know what I mean? Or like you telling me, hey, you're a good man. Like, you know, shit like that. That's part of it. But also it's like, you know, like if I don't know a person just off the rip, I extend to them a specific in general amount of respect. Is like I'm going to treat you as a decent human being. I'm going to be you know, respectful. I'm going to be, you know, all of those things.
That just sounds like courtesy to me.
Well, it's part, courtesy is a part of respect. You are courteous to a person because you have respect for them in general, I feel like.
I mean, I'm courteous to people I don't respect. Just because I'm Southern, you're supposed to be polite.
How about this? Here's a good ex this is this might be an off the wall example, but like if we were just chilling and Nick Saban walked into the room, like the feeling inside of you, or not even Nick Saban, just if somebody walked in the room that you give a lot of a shit about, like the feeling that's inside of you of like, I'm gonna stand here, or I'm gonna stand here with my arms behind my back and sit up straight, and or whatever it is that you do or that you find yourself feeling. I mean, I feel like innately that's respect. You know what I mean? Like you, there's a this person has done something or proven to you that they are a person of high value, and they, you know, deserve some type of reverence in general. Like for me, there are people in my life that I know that you aren't the biggest fan of,
Yep.
but for me, I have respect and either just a good amount or a massive amount of respect for that person in general. And so for me, you know, that's just, it is what it is. Like if I, you know, plus you got to do a lot to earn my respect, because I don't just hand it out freely other than the little bit you get if I don't know you. And that gets pulled back and adjusted as I get to know a person. Either I dole out a shitload more, or I just kind of keep it where it's at. You get my base level, or here's you a little bit more. You, I mean, it's an earned thing. You know what I mean?
So I feel like you did a good job explaining it. Well, A, literally, the you said the word reverence exactly as at the same time that I was Googling the definition of reverence. Like, I had started typing in the word reverence, and you said the word, and I was like, he did it again. Are you still there?
I am. Okay. I just like, so the definition of respect is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. So, because that's what I think of when I think of, like, respect. Like, you would, but, because, like, there are people I respect, like, professionally, like, but I've, because I have heard some of the most white trash, I've heard somebody like talk about respect. And so that concept of respect, I don't understand, because like, I feel like I don't owe anybody respect and no one owes me respect. Honestly, if I'm being like being completely honest, there are probably like three people in my entire orbit that I feel like respect me, and three might be generous. And all three of them work with me. One of them, I'm their boss. So I don't know. Maybe it's a guy thing, because
respect amongst men is a high value trait. If you have respect of your peers as a man, most other men automatically will give you kind of a certain level of extra respect. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I don't understand.
It's
just like, okay, so in this particular instance, like, you know, with the tables, if I'm, say, I'm moving a table and some heifer comes over and moves it, I'm not gonna think, well, she's being disrespectful, and be like, she's a fucking bitch, or like, she's annoying. Like, the respect just doesn't, I think it's just, well, it's just a concept I don't understand.
I think it's because it's a concept that you've never had, that you don't, that you've never had to dabble in on that level.
What, like, do you mean?
I mean, like, you grew up with your own personal struggles, but I feel like that, and I don't want to diminish any of your upbringing or thoughts about it or whatever, but like, the road that I had to travel, like, when you have nothing, respect is kind of the only thing you're in control of. You know what I mean? Like, that was disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, if I think, a lot of times I think in the regard of like, not, that wasn't nice, I think, shit, that was disrespectful as hell. You know what I mean?
No, see, I never think that.
Respect may be a more high value thing for men than women, but
I think feel it is. Like,
I don't know. I can see a symbol on a uniform and automatically assign a specific level of respect to just this symbol on a uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but I've known some shitty people. We both know some shitty people that were.
It's not, well, maybe with the military, it's you respect that symbol, that rank, whatever you want to call it, you know, that medal or that patch on a uniform. You know, it just denotes, hey, this soldier did some really hard, difficult shit, or has been through some really hard or difficult shit, and they're made it out to the other side. And so it's more an engine. Like, you can have respect for what somebody has done or what they have achieved, and you can have a high respect for that, but low respect for them as a person. It is a sliding scale, and it is very nuanced, in my personal opinion.
It's messing with me that I can't understand that I can't understand it. So, listeners, let me know on Instagram, like, what do you think respect is? Is it something that is personally important to you? Like, now I'm questioning my entire life existence. Like, I'm going to go have an existential crisis when this is over.
It's okay. You should just watch a documentary about respect or something.
I need you to find me one on YouTube. But going back to kind of close things, did you have any other final thoughts about the case before I like interrupt you?
If you're a hothead and you've respect is also high up on your totem pole, I guess we can't say that, is high up on your ladder of things that you hold in high regard. And if you, like, for me, like, I don't know, if you're a crazy person and you have any idea that you might be a crazy person, how about let's leave our handguns at home, or weapons, or stay away from weapons. I don't know. It is the feeling of being disrespected is a very hard pill to swallow for a lot of different people. And sometimes once you feel like you've been disrespected to up to a certain point, It is like there's no coming back from it. You have disrespected me, and it will not stand.
Like I
and
have,
in a lot of crazy people's brain, or if somebody's willing to go shoot somebody, you know, their value system is a little janky, but respect is still in its base form the same thing for everybody, crazy or not. And if I completely understand, not the murdering part, but the I'm letting you know now that was disrespect. You know, a normal person would say, listen, you're not going to look at me sideways no more, and you're not going to treat me the way you've been treating me. It's very disrespectful. I won't have it anymore. I'm just telling you, this is the last time we talk about this. Otherwise, we're going to have to figure it out some other kind of way. I mean, maybe that's not even the normal person's reaction, but hey, they would be like, hey, you're being a little disrespectful, and being disrespected is a big deal for me. So I'd appreciate it if maybe we could, you know, figure something else out here, because I'm all jacked up about it. But you don't kill people about, I mean, more men have been killed over lack of respect or disrespect. There's obviously not a really measurable stat, but
I imagine it's
wars
a lot.
Have been won and lost over disrespect and respect.
You're absolutely right. There have been gobs of people that have been murdered in the name of respect or disrespect, which I mean, the worst you're getting from me is I might raise my voice at you. So, but you touched on one thing that I had written down in my notes, and that is Tangela was clearly a little bit unhinged, and no judgment, but if this level of altercation pushes you to the point of you want to murder somebody, honey, you might be a little bit unhinged. So that leads to a new It's Murder Y'all PSA life rule. And you kind of said first part of it is like, if this is how you operate, maybe don't go near firearms. Also, like in this case, Eric, if you know your spouse is unhinged, please don't allow them near a firearm. Lock that shit up or get rid of it. Don't give them, because then you may end up in a situation where you're an accessory and nobody wants to be an accessory. That's no good. Also, I did not intentionally, our dog is snoring, I did not intentionally plan to do cases involving crazy ass heifers 2 weeks in a row. It just kind of worked out that way. But we are going to break away from that trend for the rest of our North Kakalaki episodes. But thank y'all so much for listening to the It's Murder Y'all podcast. As always, sources for this episode will be listed in the show notes. Please subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend, tell your mama. We'll see y'all next week. Lord willing, the creek don't rise.
Peace out, Girl Scout.